Hello and a warm welcome to the Racing Postcast, the Racing Post audio horse racing podcast. It's Monday the 25th of July. My name's Sam Hart and we have got a bumper show for you today. We're going to be looking ahead to the first 3 days of the Qatar Goodwood Festival, as well as a couple of races from the Galway Festival. Never am I alone on the postcast though. We have the Racing Post, Graham Robway and Chris Cook joining me. It's going to be some week for racing fans, Graham.
Yeah, it's going to be a great week, isn't it, Sam? Always is this one, isn't it? Not only do we have, of course, 5 days at Goodwood, we have 7 days at Galway. So, yeah, if you can't get enough racing this week, Sam, and it's beautiful, isn't it? It's going to be beautiful at Goodwood. The weather looks set fair there. I think you're not far from there. You said there was a shower was there this afternoon, but the weather's set fair for now, is it, Sam?
There was a shower about 1 o'clock for about 10 minutes, but I don't think it's going to affect the ground too much. I think we're good to firm at the moment. They have watered, but Ed Arkell seems quite confident they're going to have the same going description for the opening day. So it's going
I've
to be
been doing the rain dance as well. I've been doing the rain dance for Trushan. Now I want to see this race of the race of the century that we've been waiting for a year and a half, you know, for Trushan to turn up against all these great stayers and go and give them a good beating. But oh, maybe good to firm in places might just be a little bit quick for him. I don't know. We'll see, Sam.
Yeah, we'll get onto a discussion about the Goodwood Cup in just a second. Chris, great to have you back on the postcast. Are you going to be heading down to the South Downs track this week?
Yes, I'll be reporting there on Wednesday and might go down there again later in the week as well. It's always great fun, isn't it, Goodwood? I mean, it's been like 40 years since I first remember watching it on the telly. And so you're gripped by the thrill of the racing, and the, you know, the amazing looks of the race course. I mean, it's everybody calls it one of the most beautiful tracks in the world. And then it's just got that little bit of what would you call it? The grit in the oyster that you know, you so often get trouble in running in these races because they're big fields. Again, 18 runners in the first handicap on the Tuesday and double figure handicaps fields for the handicaps all the way through Tuesday. At some stage, you know, there's going to be jockeys riding for luck when you know perfectly well that they shouldn't, and just hopefully it's not the one that you're on. It's part of the thrill, isn't it, that you know that's going to happen and other people are going to be affected by it, so maybe you'll be on the lucky side of it. But in practice, it never really feels like that. And you know, after a couple of days, you might be struggling to rediscover your sense of humour. But we all know it's coming and you just got to prepare yourself for it.
Goodwood's a fantastic track, and like Chris says, there are going to be plenty of hard luck stories like there always is at Goodwood. Right, let's get started then. We'll kick off with the opening day, the Tuesday, the 225, which is the 7 furlong Japan Racing Association Vintage Stakes. It's a Group 2 for the 2-year-olds, and your favourite best price is Holloway Boy 2-1, Mysterious Knight 4-1, Dear My Friend 13-2, Doorknock Castle 15-2, Galeron's 8-1, double figures. The rest of them in here. Chris, the favourite here, Holloway Boy, very impressive on debut at Royal Ascot. Could he go in again here?
He definitely could. That was some shock to me, I must say, and obviously to quite a few others, that he was able to do that in the Chesham at 40-1. Really flying home from a position where you'd say you'd no chance. So you don't have much to judge him on, you would think. You know, he's going to improve again, isn't he? I mean, from that first experience of what racing is like, he did look a bit green enough during the race, and he'll know more this time. I just wonder whether, you know, physically he might not be the absolute ideal type for fast ground at Goodwood. You know, he's got a bit of size about him, hasn't he? And he will still be learning on the job. I think given that he's a short enough price, I'd rather be going against him. And, you know, Mysterious Knight is the obvious one, isn't it? I mean, you know, Godolphin Horse, Charlie Appleby is not guessing as to the quality of these 2-year-olds, is he? I mean, he's got plenty of others to judge them against. And this one, he was, you know, he was a decent third in the July Stakes, wasn't he? And he finished strongly, promising to do better again over this longer distance. I think, you know, if you can get sort of 7-2, 4-1, I'd much rather go that way than and stick with the fav.
Okay, Mysterious Knight, 4-1, best price for Chris. Graham, I mean, it's not a Goodwood preview without mentioning Charlie and Mark Johnson's name here. They've got two in here, Dear My Friend and Doorknock Castle, both unbeaten. Could they cause an upset to the favourite?
They're always very difficult as well, isn't it? Both unbeaten, both 1-2 out of two. You never really get that much of a clue from the jockey bookings either with Mark Johnson. I'm always sort of guessing as to who he puts on what. Kieran Fallon rides on at Castle, but he's ridden it on both of his starts so far. Franny Norton was on Dear My Friend last time. I like Johnson horses in the handicaps, and I think that maybe these two might struggle to get to the front two in the market. I agree with Chris. I mean, I was impressed with Holloway Boy. Now, the form is dirt, really, isn't it? Everything that ran in that race has got beaten since, basically, the Chesham. However, he did it in quite a good time, and he finished the race in a different parish to the rest of them. Like, the sectionals that he posted were just different class to anything else in the race. So although it wasn't a great race, Holloway Boy finished the race like a good horse and ran a fairly decent time. So there's a possibility that he might just well be a class apart. And of course, that was his debut. But I agree with Chris. I favour Mysterious Knight over him. I think William Buick's the best jockey at Goodwood. Certainly his record at the Glorious Meeting in the last 10 years is superb. And he's flying along, isn't he? And this one last time out in the July Stakes, yeah, definitely didn't want the drop back to six. Well, when he won his novice race at Newbury, it was 6.5. And last time out, he didn't have the pace to go with Persian Falls. Let's not forget the Newmarket is downhill. A 6 furlong track is downhill all the way to the dip, pretty much. And he was just outpaced. And then once they hit the rising ground, he was finishing like an express train. I think that step up at 7 furlongs will really suit him. And he's one of my bets of the day, Mysterious Knight.
Mysterious Knight for both Chris and Graham, 4-1. Currently best price. Let's move on to the second race we're going to look at then, the 3 o'clock, which is the 7 furlong Worldpool Lennox Stakes, a group two for 3-year-olds and upwards. Sacred, your 15-8 best price favourite. LaSalle 9-2, Pogo 5-1, Kinross 7-1, 10-1 about Lanacash, and 16s and bigger the rest in here. Now, I've actually managed to get a decent anti-post bet on Sacred here at 20-1, and I've now seen this horse. She's in the market at 15-8, and I think I'm onto a really good bet here, Graham. Is this horse going to win for me?
How much are you selling that slip for, Sam? Yeah, that's a nice one, isn't it? Cool, yeah. 20-1 on a 15-8 favourite. Yeah, she looks real good, doesn't she? She obviously won the 7 furlong race at Newbury last year. It's the Hungerford Stakes, I think, isn't it? Beating Lanacash, who lines up against her. And, yeah, returned over 6 furlongs behind Naval Crown in the Platinum Jubilee. I thought that form was fairly well advertised at Newmarket, wasn't it? You know, in the July Cup, Naval Crown and Artorias and Creative Folks were all bang there behind Alcohol Free. So I think we're looking at a solid piece of form. And over 7 furlongs, Sacred is probably a Group 1 horse, isn't she? The problem is, of course, there aren't any Group 1 races in Britain over 7, are there? So this is pretty much as good as it gets for a horse like Sacred, and you would have thought this would have been the aim for a long time. I suppose if you want to pick holes, you could say she's drawn in stall 9 around 7 furlongs. Yeah. Goodwood, probably not ideal, is it? She is, of course, going to be dropped in and then come with a late flourish. She always does. But yeah, she's the class horse in the race. I think she'll be hard to beat. But yeah, at the prices, I have to take her on. I just thought that Lanacash, I know that she's beaten him, Sacred, but I thought Lanacash looked good last time at Chester. You don't see many horses win from absolute last at Chester. He was absolute last turning for home and rattled home, flew up the home straight. And he was actually well on top at the line, Lanacash. That was his first run in cheek pieces. He's always been a bit of a character. I just wonder if maybe the cheek pieces might have made a man of him. And then, you know, he's 5 times the price of Sacred, and I'd rather back him each way than Sacred at the price. But I wish you the best of luck with that, Sam. What a price.
Yeah, it's a good price. Okay, Lanacash, a potential each way selection there for Graham at 10-1. I think Sacred could be hard to beat. And yeah, like Graham says, no Group 1 7 furlong race in the UK. I think Prix de la Forêt is the one on Arc Weekend, which is the Group 1 that a lot of horses are aimed at. But this horse does want quick ground and does look like she's going to be getting it. Chris, are you going to be with Sacred?
I mean, I've missed the price now, haven't I? But I mean, I'll be rooting for you, obviously. You know, I've been playing a bit of poker lately. This situation you've got with Sacred, this is like you get your opponent to go all in when you're on 2 aces and he's on 7-2 offsuit. I shall be crying for you if he ends up, you know, with a straight. Yeah, she's got plenty of quality, Sacred, but like Graham, I think Lana Cash is the bit of value. That time when he was just behind her, Newbury last year, that was his first run since previous October. I did think he'd go on for it in the end. You'd have to say his subsequent two runs that season were a little bit disappointing. He's a big frame of a horse, and I think it's taken him really until now, he's in the middle of his four-year-old year, to sort of grow into himself. And you could really see a lot of promise in that Chester effort. I think he's got to be the danger. Would you be worried about him yourself?
Yeah, I think so. I think definitely Lana Cash is the worry. I think the price is actually a decent price for an each-way backward price, like Graham said. So,
well, I think maybe you should be having a little bit on just to hedge your position there. But I like him. If you're starting betting on this race now, when did you get the 20-1? Just so I know for next year when to start looking at
the I mean, Goodwood's one of my favourite festivals of the year, Chris. I start looking at Goodwood as soon as the markets start going up for some of the races. And seeing Sacred in there at that price, and I think she's a bit of a 7 furlong specialist, I thought the run at Royal Ascot was, yeah, superb and a great prep. My one argument might be against my bet would be that I think she might be better fresh as well, but we'll have to wait and see. I don't think this is the most amazing field in the world. And like Graham said, the form has been advertised really well. So, yeah, you can get the markets early for anti-post punters. But it was listening to Agus, he had two in here. He had Aldari and Sacred. And Aldari was only going to run if the ground was going to come up soft. And Sacred was the choice if the ground came up firm. So I can imagine that Haggers has got the foray in mind for Aldari at the end of the season. But it looks like it's going to be Sacred in the Lennox for him. So I'm hoping it will go in.
Well, best of luck. You've got the value.
Yeah, we'll just hope. And I will look at Lana Cash on the day, potentially as a little saver for myself. Let's move on to the big race then. The 3:35 on the opening day. It's the 2-mile Al-Shakab Goodwood Cup, Group 1, part of the British Champion Series. And Kyprios, your Ascot Gold Cup winner, is your 13-8 favourite. Stradivarius, your 4-time Goodwood Cup winner. Could he make it 5? 5-2, best price. Trushan is 3-1. Coltrane 10-1, Princess Zoe 18-1, and then much bigger prices the other four in here. Most bookmakers should be paying non-runner no bet on this race now. So if you are backing Trushan, I think you've just got to be careful to make sure that you do get that non-runner no bet, because there's no guarantee that this horse is going to be running at the moment. But look, Graham, it'd be an excellent race if we see all three of these turn up tomorrow.
If we get them all, then it is going to be celebration time, no matter what happens, Sam, because I've been handicapping these stayers for over a year and a half now, and I have been waiting for Trushan to race, you know, the stars of the division on decent ground in the summer, and it hasn't happened. When he faces them on soft ground in the winter, he's far, far, far too good for them. Alan King and Connections are saying that good ground is absolutely no issue for Trushan. The problem is when there's quick ground there. So we shall see. Let's hope that Ed Arkell has got it right and it's genuine good ground and that we see Trushan turn up, because on RPRs, he's the greatest stayer of all time, isn't he? You know, 128 is one of the highest marks ever given to a stayer, which is what he achieved when he, of course, gave lumps of weight, 10 stone 8 pound, to the rest of the field in the Northumberland Plate, and a beating, of course. And not only does he win handicaps off big weights, he wins Group Ones. He thrashed Stradivarius a couple of times last year. He had Quick Form well behind him, giving him weight first time up at Nottingham. And Quick Form obviously is no slouch. He's won a couple of races since, including in France, hasn't he? So I just think, I mean, Kyprios is favourite. I have no idea why. You know, I mean, Trushan is a far better horse than Kyprios. Absolutely no doubt about it. And Trushan's a far better horse than Stradivarius. And if the ground is fine, Trushan will win this race. I've got absolutely no doubt about it. But, of course, the books are no doubt factoring in the fact that he might not run and that possibly the ground might be too quick for him. Sorry. So if he doesn't run, which... what's the betting on him running? What odds you're offering? What odds you're offering me, Sam, Chris? What price are we saying that Trushan's going to turn up here? Is he odds on to turn up or is he not?
No, I'm not too sure whether this horse is going to turn up, Graham. But what would be interesting to know is if it was declared that the ground was given as good to firm in places, whether you'd, and Alan King said, look, we're going to run Trushan and we're going to give it a go and take the risk on quick going. Would you think this horse has a chance against these two on that quick going?
Yeah, I think he can definitely beat him on quick going. I don't think he'll run on quick going, but he's got form on good ground, that's for sure. I think he won a race, didn't he, last year, or the year before at Salisbury on good ground. So he's got good ground form, and I don't see that as an issue. He is the best star in the division. Nothing will beat him if conditions are right. If he doesn't run, which we're saying might be an odds-on chance, then it's probably going to be a match between Stradivarius and Kyprios again, or a rematch, should we say, from the Ascot race. And I think Kyprios will definitely confirm the form with Stradivarius. I didn't think Stradivarius was that unlucky that day at Ascot. The sectional suggests that he wasn't unlucky. Kyprios actually ran the final furlong quicker than Stradivarius. He was going right away from him at the finish and the rest of the field. You think he was 0.11 seconds faster than Stradivarius, which is roughly about half a length. So even when Stradivarius was in the clear, Kyprios was still sprinting faster than him. I think that Kyprios will if Trushan doesn't run, Kyprios will win. And I think Stradivarius will take... It's his retirement race, isn't it? And I think he'll bow out gracefully. He's been a great stayer over the years. He's been absolutely fantastic. Great to watch. Andrea Rezzani taking over. He, of course, has won two Goodwood Cups on Stradivarius already, Andrea Rezzani. He's unbeaten in three starts on Stradivarius. Absolutely love Stradivarius. You know, one of the all-time greats. But he is 8 years old, and he's facing two top-class stayers if they both run. Trushan and Kyprios, and certainly one who's definitely going to run, and that's Kyprios.
It'll be some story if Stradivarius does doing it. And like Graham says, that Zini takes the ride, and that Zini does ride Goodwood really well, and he has won the two Goodwood Cups, like Graham said. Chris, is it one of those here where, look, if you're betting with your heart, you're going to be backing Stradivarius. Everyone's going to want to see this horse win, but with your head, you've really got to look into this race and think, is Kyprios the improving horse and the one that's going to go and win this?
Yeah, I don't know if I ever... emotionally attached to Stradivarius in that way. I mean, I guess it would be fun to see the old horse win, but he has done a lot of winning over the years. You know, I wouldn't mind at all if Trushan, you know, got another big day. And I feel like he nearly has got some making up to do in the recognition stakes, you know, and that's maybe part of the reason why he's not even fab. He's shortening now, I see. I mean, that's been the way the betting's been going in the hour or so before we've been talking. I think all that 4-1 has gone, and he's down to sort of general 3-1 now. Just talking to Alan King last week, I got the impression that he really does want to run, and he's been keeping in close contact with a clerk of the course who's assuring him of how much water they've been chucking on the course. I see 7.5 on the going stick. I don't know how much faith you put in the going stick, but is that maybe a little bit lower than you were expecting after all the sun that's been baking down on the countryside in that part of the world?
It drains fairly well, Goodwood, from what I know. And I mean, you've got to trust in what Ed Arkle says there. When he says good to firm, he was expecting the shower today. And he's come out and said that, look, even with that shower and the wind, the way the wind's going, the dry weather, he still thinks the ground will be exactly the same tomorrow. I just think he just wanted to protect the actual straight. That's why they put water down on that part of the track. So it's one of those. I mean, they obviously, Goodwood, want to try and attract Trushan, but they also want to make sure that the ground's fair for other horses, I guess, Chris.
Yeah, and of course it's going to dry out through the week, isn't it? So they need to get their moisture in good and early. I'm just looking at this race and thinking, so, you know, Kyprios is the right fav, but, you know, is there any flex in those odds? Probably not. I think there's a horse in this race that might run above its odds. Whether there's a way to make a profit out of that, I don't know. But its enemy is the one that I'm looking at. It's general 50-1. You know, I think it's probably unrealistic to expect him to win. But he's got more quality than has generally been realised. And let's face it, it's only a couple of days since we had that King George when everyone was sort of left open mouth about, you know, there's all those horses, the legitimate horses we really fancy, they've underperformed. And who is this schmo that's come through and won? Enemy sort of joined Ian Williams at the start of the year from France. And, you know, he sort of stepped up in distance and really improved through the ranks. And I thought he was unlucky in the Cigarro when he got sort of squashed against the inside rail by Princess Zoe. I think given a clear run, he probably would have won that. It might be that 2 miles around Ascot is just a smidge further than he really wanted to go. This will be more of a test of speed, and I think that might quite suit him. And he hasn't been out since the end of May. I think that was maybe the sort of third quick run that he didn't really appreciate, but he's been given some time off since. Ian Williams absolutely knows what he's doing. You know, he's a very canny trainer, and I don't think this horse is just here to make up the numbers. I think if you can get a place bet on, maybe each way at 50-1 is justified. Or you could sort of look at maybe doing some, putting him in some forecast bets with one or two of the fancied horses. I think he's really interesting and underappreciated.
There we go. Okay, both the gents do like Trushan if running, but Chris has given a big mention for Enemy there. 50-1 potentially in each way angle in the race, especially if you can get three places, might be a good bet. And Graham will be with Kyprios if Trushan doesn't run. And that's it for day one of the festival. Join us in just a second for a look at day two as well as the Galway Plate.
It's time for Goodwood to take centre stage with the Qatar Goodwood Festival. Natalie Green and Dave Orton will be guiding you through every day on Racing Post Live with Betfair. There'll be exciting reactions to races, live trades through the exchange, with fun and entertainment along the way. That's Racing Post Live, Tuesday to Saturday, starting at 1:30 p.m. Subscribe to the Racing Post YouTube channel so you don't miss a thing.
Welcome back to the postcast with myself, Sam Hart, Chris Cook and Graham Rodway. We'll move in to day two of the Qatar Goodwood Festival. And we kick things off with the 2:25 on the Wednesday. It's the 7 furlong Whispering Angel Oak Tree Stakes, a group three for the fillies and mares. And Soft Whisper is best price 9-2 favourite. Heredia, the Sandringham winner, 5-1. Primo Baccio, 8-1. Bounce the Blue, 17-2. 10-1 about the French Raider Samaram. And 12-1 and bigger the rest in here. Cool, it's an open race this one. Chris, who are you going to be with?
Yeah, this is a race where French trained horses in the Al Shakab colours have a fantastic race since, you know, the sort of Qatari sponsorship of the whole week took over. And I think, you know, it's one of those things, isn't it, where if you're a trainer who's got a horse for those owners and you know this is the week where they'd really rather the horse was winning if it could, then you start training your horse for that week, don't you? And so that's what happened when I think it was Francois Rojo who won this race 3 years in a row with Al Shakab horses. That was what was going on there. And Samaran's in a sort of similar situation. It's from the Graffard stable in France, carrying the Al Shakab colours, and got some quite nice progressive form in France. Won a listed the last time. F. Dottori booked. Obviously people are cottoning onto that whole system. Samaran, she's a progressive, a lightly raced filly from France. Ran well in a Group 3 in April, won a listed race narrowly the last time. I think she's going the right way. And at the available odds, you know, if you can get 10-1, that does underplay her chance, I think. Although this is a really difficult race to pick apart. I wouldn't find it particularly attractive for confident betting, that's for sure.
Okay, Samaran. Yeah, the French have got a decent record in this race, and she won the Prix Voltaire last time out. Graham, I mean, Heredia is the interesting one because she won the Sandringham and everyone thought that she could be a really nice filly. I mean, it didn't quite work out at Sandown the next day, and potentially that was just, you know, the bounce back factor. But could she, you know, return to that kind of form that she did in the Sandringham?
Yeah, if she does, she's going to go close, isn't she? There was a very good time in the Sandringham. Zanbak and Heredia separated themselves from 26 other rivals, is that right? 25 other rivals? Anyway, a huge field, quite well. And definitely wasn't at her best at Sandown. She got a bit warm before the start and took a very keen hold, and the race just didn't pan out in her favour. She could definitely bounce back. Yeah, that's absolutely fascinating case that Chris has just made for that French horse, isn't it? Passed me by, you know, but I literally, just as Chris said it, I almost went and backed the horse. It's just one of those, isn't it, where you're like, oh, yeah, you know, yeah, they used to win this race loads, didn't they, with There was a horse that won it loads of times. Can't remember the name of it. Anyway, I won't steal Chris's thunder, not least because he's already done it. Miss Carol Ann was the horse that that I thought might run well at big price. I was at Newmarket when she won last time, and she quickened up quite well from the back to come through and win. Now, it was only a handicap, but they must rate her quite highly because she's only had five runs. Three of them have been in either group or listed races behind a few of these, of course, Oscular and the likes. But she's a filly, and you just don't know when these fillies are going to come to themselves. And I just wonder if it's taking her a bit of time. But she looked very good last time out at Newmarket. You don't often see horses coming from Newmarket, coming from as far back as she did at Newmarket in smallish sort of fields. They usually tend to go quite slow and then quicken it up. I think she's got a fair amount of ability, Miss Carol Ann, but I must admit, I did like that argument that Chris just made about the Samar Hen.
There we go. Two double-figure prices from the gents. Graham with Miss Carol Ann at 14-1 and Chris with the French trader Samar Hen at 10-1. Let's move on to the next race, which is going to be a very quick race. It's the 5 furlong Malcolm Stakes. It's a group three for the two-year-olds at 3 o'clock on the Wednesday. And Rocket Rodney is your 11-8 favourite. Wallbank, the unlucky horse, supposedly at Royal Ascot, was 3-1. Eddie's Boy, 6-1. Studio City, 9s, and double figures about the other four in here. I mean, Rocket Rodney was so good at Sandown the last day. Obviously, the form there with Little Big Bear from Royal Ascot. Graham, I mean, if that form is working out as well as it is, Rocket Rodney's going to take some beating, isn't he?
Yeah, he definitely will. I mean, his form is absolutely rock solid, isn't he? Because Little Big Bear, of course, has bolted up since. The third was Eddie's Boy, who also runs in this race. And he won the Super Sprint next time out. So that, you know, that form, the Windsor Castle Stakes form, is now looking very, very good. Rocket Rodney, of course, has won himself since when he again confirmed the form with Eddie's Boy. He's won at the course. So he's got a tick in that box. The only worry, of course, is that, you know, he's a short price favourite, isn't he? A yard that probably wouldn't be known for winning, you know, Malcolm's reeling them off 1 year after the other. I still like Wallbank. He was one of my bankers of the week at Ascot, because when he won at York, he posted a really good time and he absolutely hammered them. And when he was second at Ascot, the winner was Noble Style. The fourth was Royal Scotsman, who finished third in the Coventry. So I just thought his form was so, so strong going into the Norfolk. I thought he was disappointing in the Norfolk, though. Yeah, he got beaten by the 50-1 outside the Riddler. And he wouldn't have finished second if the Riddler hadn't hampered two or three of the other rivals. You know, Wallbank would have finished fourth, probably. I just refuse to believe that that is the true Wallbank, because I think the clock suggests that Wallbank is a really outstanding juvenile if you go back to his previous form. And I just wonder if for one reason or another, he just didn't show it at Ascot last time out. Racing Post rating suggests that he didn't show it. I mean, we had him running £5 below his run at York last time. We had him at 99 in the Norfolk, and we had him at 104 at York. So we reckon he underperformed by £5. Now, if he can get to 104, which is the rating he got to at York, then he equals Rocket Rodney, who's run to 104 on his last two starts. So I don't think there's as much between Wallbank and Rocket Rodney as maybe the market suggests. And I think that we might see the real Wallbank here. This tends to be won by really fast two-year-olds. Kotai Glory and Cavanna Grey and Top Class 5 furlong horses have won it. Armour is already at stud. So it's not really a race that throws up horses for the long term. It's for horses that are really, really fast now. And I think Wallbank is really, really fast now. I mean, he's bred to be really speedy. His dam was No Lippy, who was a really good horse for Mark Johnston over 5 furlongs. He's a Kodiak, so there's loads of speed there. I do think Wallbank is outstanding, and I think we're going to see it. Well, I hope we're going to see it here. Give him another chance after that disappointment at Royal Ascot.
Wallbank for Graham. Robway, a horse that could return back to true form. 3-1 for Ammo Racing, who are having some season. Chris, is it going to be Rocket Rodney for you?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, I mean, instinctively, I pull away from going with favourites. But you know that feeling that you get when you're trying to put together a case for something else and it's just not quite piecing together, and you think, well, I'm trying too hard here. I mean, Eddie's Boy instinctively is a horse I would I'd like to be taking it. You know, it's sort of what, 5-1, 11-2. You know, having won the Super Sprint, and you know, it's a fast horse who really relished quick surface. But you know, how is he going to turn around that form with Rocket Rodney? It's not just Sandown, but he was behind Rocket Rodney Ascot as well. And I'm just not really persuading myself that the circumstances are sufficiently different here to justify going that way and then seeing him finish behind the Fav again. Rocket Rodney for me, given that, you know, on the ratings, he's clearly ahead. I don't think 11-8 is actually too short.
Okay, 11-8 favourite. Yeah, I think Rocket Rodney's going to take some beating. I do think Michael O'Callaghan's horse Studio City is fascinating at 9-1. Obviously, Michael O'Callaghan won this back in 2020 with Still Ball with Colin Keane on. Ryan Moore takes the ride on Studio City. This horse was second to Donnacrow Brian-trained horse Wadao, who's since come out and won a listed race beating horses like Ardar's Great and the Antarctic, who has since run well in group company as well and was obviously well fancied for the Norfolk back at Royal Ascot. And I think Studio City could run a big race each way. But yeah, I think Rocket Rodney is going to be the one. He's going to take some beating in the Malcolm. Let's move on to the highlight of the Wednesday. It's the 3:35 Qatar Sussex Stakes over a mile, Group 1 part of the British Champion Series. And Baid is now your best price 1-5 favourite. Was 4-11, but obviously we've had the news with regards to Karibus not being in this race now. So yeah, goes off a heavy favourite at 1-5. Alcohol Free, the July Cup winner and last year's Sussex Stakes winner, 11-1. Order of Australia, 16-1. Modern Games, 25-1. Chindit, 33s. The Japanese Raider, Baffrat Leon's, 40-1. And Angel Blur, the outside of the lot, at 50-1. Loads of comparisons, Chris, with Frankel, this horse. I mean, they're two completely different horses, in my opinion. But could we see a Frankel-esque performance on the South Downs?
I guess that would be nice, shouldn't it? My preference is always for a competitive race and close finish, late drama and all that. It's a pity, isn't it, that we haven't managed to put together a stronger field of opposition. And you think about the ones that are missing. It might be a bit mad now because she got beat, but I was thinking this was a great race for Inspiral to come to, you know, straight from the coronation stage. I think maybe there might have been an element of the Newmarket race coming a bit quick. You know, if they hadn't been so sort of keen on avoiding Baid, maybe that, you know, that's something that you could have done with that horse because she'd be getting all the allowances and a bit more time. It might have been interesting. And Maljum, who was so unlucky in the St. James's Palace, it would have been great if he'd come here, but the owner's related to the owner of Baid. So that doesn't happen. Anyway, look, he's the most likely winner, obviously, at fives on. And I'm not really seeing the flaw that would allow you to bet against him. So, maybe the interesting thing is to try and put together a forecast with one of the outsiders. I think Angel Blur is one that again, you know, a bit like I was saying here, they might run above his odds, but he's probably not got any kind of winning chance. He's got plenty of solid two-year-old form. He won a couple of group ones in October there. Hasn't really shown much quality at all this year, but you can make excuses for him. You know, maybe this race will work out better for him. I think at some stage he's going to be a horse that will show us, you know, he's still got that sort of top class quality there. And, you know, Frankie back in the saddle, he's got a good relationship with this owner. I could see him running above expectation, and I'd rather go that way, I think, than a horse like Alcohol Free, who's sort of back up in distance again. You know, it's an odd one, isn't it? I mean, you know, she just established herself as a top-class sprinter and they're back up to a mile. You know, won this race before, but on very different ground. You just don't quite know what to expect with her. But I don't feel like, you know, putting faith in her to turn over by it anyway. So I think it's going to be a bit of a procession in the end.
Okay, a procession for Baid. I think everyone's going to think that. But a little bit of a mention there for Angel Blur from Chris. Graham, you're going to be on Racing Post Live on Wednesday. I guess this is one of those races where you won't be having a bet, but you're looking forward to seeing a special performance.
Yeah, I haven't been as taken with Baid as some. I must admit, I think he's a very, very good horse. I don't think he's in the Frankel Superstar category yet, that's for sure. For a start, he's really yet to beat a proper horse, bar Palace Pier, of course, who he beat in last year's race at Ascot. And sadly, every time he turns up, he seems to scare off the opposition, or you know, something goes wrong with his main rivals. And even if, I mean, I think he'd have beaten Karibas, but at least if Karibas had run, he'd have had to give him some weight and it would have added some interest to the race. You know, now is, you know, I don't think you can start crowning horses as absolute superstar champions when every time they turn up, they're racing horses that are significantly inferior to them. And that's what's happening with Baid every single time. And it's a shame for the racing season as a whole, I think, that we're getting a lot of races where really is, you know, this should be the absolute highlight of the week. We've seen some great clashes in this race, haven't we, down the years, not least Franco himself and Camford Cliffs when they came up against each other. And we really need this for the season, for the flat season to really take off. We need someone to go in and really give Baid a race, and so that we can just see how good he is. You know, I'll be all over him and saying how great he is if he goes and beats a Desert Crown or a real top class rival in the way that he's beaten up these inferior horses. But again, Desert Crown's now out for a little while, isn't he? So that now maybe looks like Baid might go to the international and only Mishriff maybe will turn up against him, although Mishriff might give him a race. The wider conversation is how good Baid is. And we aren't going to learn how good he is here. We're just going to see him probably go out there and have another procession win probably quite easily. And, you know, we aren't going to learn anything more. I think Alcohol Free is the only horse that can beat him. But it's going to take something really funny for her to be good enough to beat him. I mean, he's already beaten her, hasn't he? He beat her at Newbury. He's already beaten Order of Australia. So it's just a, you know, it's, if you like going to watch horses have, you know, great horses go and have processions, then, you know, go and enjoy Baid on Wednesday. But like Chris says, I like watching races, and for me this isn't really a race. You know, it's a Baid procession.
So simply what you're saying there, Graham, is that basically Baid, you know, he's beating what's put in front of him, obviously, but just a good miler in probably not the best division at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. And there are good milers out there and good horses who could race against him. But for an unfortunate reason, the races aren't happening for us, are they? Karibas hasn't made it. Desert Crown is out. You know, there's horses out there who, if they turned up against Baid, would give us a really exciting race. And sadly, I think for the whole season and for the sport as a whole, it's not happening, and it's such a shame for us, because it's great to have a Baid. We're very lucky to have Baid in Britain and a star of his quality, but you know, we need a horse who can go and push him.
Okay, yeah, completely agree. I mean, it's going to be exciting to see, you know, Baid potentially, he's going to retire as an unbeaten horse. We'll have to wait and see, but yeah, Baid, a 1-5 favourite, hasn't got much of a race and should be winning the Sussex Stakes on Wednesday. Now on to the final race we'll look at on Wednesday, and no, it's not from Goodwood. We head to Galway for the 6:40, it's the Tote Galway Plate, over 2 miles, 6.5 furlongs. A handicap chase. Cape Gentleman is the 15-2, joint favourite with the Shunter. Fire Attack 9-1, Easy Game and Hewick are 12s. 14-1 about Gabby Nacko and Early Doors, and 16-1 bar these. Graham, we're all focused on the flat for Goodwood at the moment, but we've got a nice little handicap chase to get stuck into here.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I feel like we're going back to... We're going back to Cheltenham at March. I mean, half of these horses have turned up for some of those races. Certainly the Shunter is always a regular, isn't he? And, Gabby Narco. I always think, you know, Willie Mullins, obviously, was the first port of call here. And Paul Townend has jumped on El Barra, who won a race at the Punchestown Festival when we last saw him. Sometimes in racing it can pay to play it simple, Sam. And you know, when you look at this race and you see Willie Mullins has got a bunch of runners in it, and Paul Townend's on, well, this horse was 16-1 not long ago. I think a few people have cut him, but I think that if I was going to play, I'd just play it simple and stick with Willie and Paul and El Barra.
Okay, El Barra for yourself and the Willie Mullins factor. Who are you going to be with, Chris?
Yeah, I think Fire Attack is the sort of the one that appeals to me of the market leaders. You know, you've got that young progressive profile. But I think the Jam Man is interesting. I mean, he's obviously been around for a long time, 9 years old now, won 11 races. Not for a while, he hasn't won. But I mean, the last time he went over fences, was the Troy Town at the end of 2020, when he absolutely hosed up by a ridiculous margin. I think he's won 18 lengths with 21 other horses in the race. It's just the sort of stuff you literally never see. So, of course, his rating has changed a bit since then. I mean, he was on 129 that day, and he's got a run here off 145. But I'm inclined to think, you know, he's still going to be very competitive. He's got blinkers on the first time. It's a very streaky stable he comes from. I mean, they go for months sometimes without a winner. But they had one the other day, I noticed. One from three they are in July in Irish jump racing. I think the Jam Man is maybe poised to run above his odds. He's generally 16 to 1. I think there's a bit of 20s available. I should say I've got no record at all on the Galway plate. I find it very difficult. I'm not sure if anybody can claim to have a good record betting on this race. But it's a bit of fun at the end of the day. When you've done your money at Goodwood and you've still got a live hope of maybe getting it back in Galway. One of those races where I feel like in the spirit of the thing, you have to take part, don't you? Even if you have zero expectations.
There you go. It's a decent looking handicap chase. And the Jam Man 20 to 1 for Chris and El Barra is 16 to 1 for Graham Robway. Some good price to be had there in the Galway plate. Let's see if the panel can find us some nice prices on day three of Goodwood.
Stay ahead of the field with Racing Post Members Club, featuring unlimited access to the Racing Post digital newspaper, exclusive online content, replays from all UK and Irish racecourses, and more. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22 to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. Head to racingpost.com/postcast to find out more.
Welcome back to the postcast with Sam, Chris and Graham. We're going to be looking at the third day of Goodwood and Galway. We start off with the 2.25. It's the 6 furlong Richmond Stakes, Group 2 for the Colts and Geldings, 2-year-old race, Noble Style 7-4, Royal Scotsman 9-4, Chateau 4-1, Marshman 6-1, 8-1 about Crispy Cat and double figures. Bar these, Noble Style very much hyped up for the Coventry, Chris. I mean, if he's as good as they were saying he is, he ought to be winning this, shouldn't he?
Yes, I think so. And I think he might well. I mean, you know, he's beaten Wallbank at Ascot in early May, and that form's working out nicely. Some other good names in behind. Again, comes from that Charlie Appleby yard where they've got a really good beat on all the 2-year-old form. We don't have the final decks for this race, but looking at the shape of it so far, I'd be surprised if I want to be against him on the day. I think you're probably on a hiding to nothing there. I'm sure he can win this.
Okay, yeah, Noble Style for Chris. Graham, does it kind of revolve around the top two in the market, or are you with something elsewhere?
Yeah, no, I like Royal Scotsman here, Sam. He finished behind Noble Style first time out at Ascot over 5. And I was at Goodwood when he won second time out over the course and distance. And you will not see many more impressive winners than Royal Scotsman that day. He was so impressive that I backed him straight after the race for the Coventry at 16s each way. And he did reward my each way support by finishing third in the Coventry. And again, he travelled with great fluency through that race at Ascot and maybe just didn't see the race out as strongly as the winner, Bradsell. And the runner-up, I think, was Persian Falls, wasn't he? Who has since won at Newmarket. I think the Royal Scotsman's got a really strong chance of reversing that first-time-out form at Ascot with Noble Style, not least because Royal Scotsman would have probably been in need of the experience that day at Ascot first time up. And it was 5 furlongs. This is 6. I think he's better suited by 6. And I think this downhill track really, really suits Royal Scotsman because he's a strong traveller. So, yeah, I'm quite confident Royal Scotsman will win this one.
Okay, Royal Scotsman for Graham, Noble Style for Chris in the Richmond Stakes. Moving on to the 3 o'clock, which is the 1.5 mile John Pearce Racing Gordon Stakes, a Group 3 for the 3-year-olds. And this actually looks a really strong race. New London is 9-4 favourite. Hooya Mal, the Derby second, is 7-2. West Wind Blows, 15-2. Grand Alliance, 9-1. 10-1 about French Claim and Deauville Legend, 12-1. Bar these. Graham, do you agree this could be quite a nice race?
It looks good, don't it, Sam? Yeah, it looks very good. New London, I just wonder if, obviously all of his best form is at Newmarket, isn't it? And he blew out entirely when he was sent to Chester. He's quite a long striding horse. I just wonder if this is going to be his track. He's a big unit. And I think that maybe he might be well suited by galloping tracks like Newmarket, for example, and not undulating ones like Goodwood. But I certainly couldn't be having him on my mind at a short price around Goodwood, given his frame. I think that if he lines up, then the Derby form has to be followed, doesn't it? From what we've seen so far, I think we were looking at a very good Derby. I mean, I know that Westover disappointed on Saturday, but he came out and bolted up in the Irish Derby next time out. I don't think there's any doubt that Desert Crown is a top-class horse, and Hugh Yamal split them. And yeah, he ran a very fast final three furlongs in the Derby as well, Hugh Yamal. It was probably underestimated how fast he ran. I think it was comparable to Desert Crown, although you've got to bear in mind that Richard Kingscote was easing down for the final half furlong. He was so far clear on Desert Crown. But I think that Hugh Yamal, if he lines up, is a good bet to turn over New London.
Okay, Hugh Yamal, yeah, the horse has been sold to Australia, going to have a run here in the Gordon Stakes, then potentially the St. Ledger, and I'm sure the Melbourne Cup is the aim towards November. Chris, who are you going to be with in this?
I think West Wind Blows is really interesting. Nice bit of Scottish form last time, you've got to support it. He really showed something at Hamilton. I mean, it's only a forerunner listed race, and maybe people think that that's not going to matter much in the context of this. This is obviously a lot hotter. Down at the other end of the country. But he was in the Derby too, and that's the only time he's been beaten, a fair way. And you probably look at the nuts and bolts of that form and think, you know, how is he going to turn that around with Hugh Yamal? I think he hasn't given his true running there. You know, there's lots of horses over the years where it was perfectly worth forgiving a poor run in the Derby. You know, he might not have acted on the track. He might have done a bit too much early, I think, was probably the truth of the matter. I find it very interesting that as soon as they took the hood off for that last race at Hamilton, he's shown a much improved level of form. Whether he can do it again in this stronger company is an interesting question, but I shall certainly take a chance on him at the odds. I think he's 5-1, 6-1. He's got an attractive way of racing. He's going to go off in front, which I think plays well round here. In this fast ground, he's just going to keep rolling. And then it will be a question of whether some of these steady old middle distance types can get to him.
Okay, Westman Blows. Yeah, I've actually seen 15-2. As a best price about that horse, so potentially a nice price there from Chris, and obviously Hugh Yamal for Grey and the Derby second, backing up the Derby form. Hopefully he can go and do it for the Bowie stable. Now on to the final Group 1 of the week at Goodwood. It's the 3:35, the 1.25 mile Qatar Nassau Stakes. It's a Group 1, part of the British Champion Series again, fillies and mares race, and Nashua is your 8-13 favourite. Lilac Road is 11-2. My Astra is 11-1, Dreamloper 14-1, and 16-1 and bigger. The rest in here. Nashua, the winner of the Prix de Diane last time out, Chris. Do you think, I mean, it doesn't look the best of fielding behind her. Do you think she can just back that up now?
I mean, she obviously can. Whether I'd be at all interested in taking such a short price, I certainly wouldn't be. What's she 2s on now?
8-13.
Yeah. So, and you remember how she looked at Epsom rolling down the camber there and sort of, you know, not going forward as you'd hope in the last sort of furlong or so. I think the French race worked out quite nicely for her. And, you know, she'll be back on a faster surface here on a track where, again, you know, she's going to have every chance to roll about from side to side if, you know, she feels like doing that instead of going forwards. I think this might be quite a frustrating watch if you've backed her at short odds, you know, with to a decent sum. There's got to be something in there that a bit more straightforward. My Astra is the one that I like. You just be slightly wary because William Haggis has got 2 in there, and I see Tom Markman's already jocked up on the other one. So perhaps it might not be the plan for My Astra to go there. I think either one of them would probably do me. Do you remember those old days when you put the selections in the paper at the 5-day stage? W. Haggis is selected. I think that's what I'm doing here.
Yeah, Haggis with Lilac Road and Maestro. If Maestro were to go 11-1 at the moment, potentially a decent each way price, taking on the heavy favourite Nashua. Graham, is Nashua just going to go and win this?
I mean, I really like her, Nashua. Obviously, Sam, you know, I thought that she had the best form going into the Oaks, and I thought that you know, she had a better chance of winning than Emily Upjohn, and backed her accordingly. I don't think she stayed the Oaks trip. She travelled really nicely through the race, and yeah, furlong on and half out, I thought that she had a really good chance of winning. But like Chris said, what happened was she just rolled around on the track, was probably tired, didn't appear to see out the mile and a half trip, and then dropped back to a mile and two last time out, mile two and a half at Shanty. Yeah, she won very nicely, albeit only by a small margin, but she went through the race like a class act, quickened up well, just like she did at Newbury, sorry, when she won previously, and yeah, was nicely on top, I thought. I do think she's a talented filly, but I don't make her odds on in this race, not least because you got to be a little bit worried about the three-year-old fillies, have you not? You know, Tuesday was thrashed by West Over.
Yeah.
Emily Upjohn ran absolutely no sort of race, albeit, yes, she pulled too hard on Saturday. But, you know, you might have hoped to see a little bit more from the three-year-old fillies, given Nashua is long, long odds on, and she was beaten by both of them at Epsom. I think for that reason, you've got to be thinking about taking her on. And, I mean, I backed Ville de Grace last time out at York. I thought she was a good bet to win that race. She was quite well backed. I think she was 5-2. And I was surprised that Lilac Road beat her. She'd beaten Lilac Road previously at Newmarket at the end, back in the last season, and ran really well first time up when beaten a nose by Dreamloper. I don't make her, I think she's around 14-16-1 chance. I mean, that's too big a price each way, I think, against the favourite. So Ville de Grace each way.
16-1 for the Derby winning combination of Sir Michael Stout and Richard Kingsker. Not a bad price in there. And obviously, Chris, with the Haggis horses, hoping Maestro runs, but if not, going to side with Lilac Road. Let's move away from Goodwood for the final race we're going to be looking at before getting the gents' other selections and also their naps. It's the 5:05 at Galway on Thursday. It's the Galway Hurdle Handicap, a handicap hurdle over 2 miles. Adamantly chosen 7-1 favourites. Santa Rosa 10-1. Party Central 10s. HMS Seahorse 10s. My Mate Mozzie and Oars Peace 12-1 and 14-1 and bigger the rest. This looks competitive, Chris.
Really competitive. Yeah, I mean, you could spend, we could spend 5 hours on this race, couldn't we, if we were really going down into in the proper depth that it deserves. But because it lands in this week, you're going to skate over the top and hope for luck. I'm looking at Gordon Elliott for a big week, and he's been in cracking form. I think you probably remember, you know, Cheltenham Festival time, the yard wasn't going all that well, and he had a bit of a disappointing week. But it looks like things have come right since. So Party Central, you know, being the young progressive talent due for me, you know, easily a career best the last day at Punchestown. And then probably put away with this in mind, you think. I mean, she probably got to a rating where they think we can win a decent race with this horse. Ran in the race that Love Envoy won, the Dawn Run at the Cheltenham Festival, and beaten a fair way. But I mean, I think, you know, the circumstances of that race didn't work out so well for her. You know, testing surface in the end that they raced that on. I think this, you know, well, it's a completely different circumstance, isn't it? And hopefully it'll work out better for her.
Okay, Party Central, yeah, 7th in the Mayor's Novice Hurdle, and then bounce back to form at Punchestown, 10-1 currently. Gerard, the last race we're going to be officially previewing here, who are you going to be with?
Yeah, it may not surprise you, but I really fancy one in this. Ooh. My Mate Mozzie. I think this horse is really good. I last season, when he won at Navan, he was very, very impressive. He jumps superbly well. He's a free-going front runner. The problem is, when he won that day, he jumped out to his right the whole way. And I'd already backed him for the Cheltenham Festival opener, the Supreme Novices Hurdle, after he'd won going right-handed at Punchestown on his debut. And straight after that Navan race, Gravin Cromwell was saying, you know, he jumps a little bit to his right. So we're not entirely sure that we're going to end up going to Cheltenham. The horse must have decent ground. So then there was a bit of messing around with the horse. They gave it an absolutely ridiculous ride when it was beaten a short head by Statuaire in the Royal Bond. For a free going front runner, they decided they were going to try and settle him in front. And every time he was flying every single hurdle, and the jockey Darrow O'Keefe was just pulling him back to the field to try and sort of teach him to settle. They were trying to teach him something rather than actually having the idea of just going and winning this Grade One. And he was still in front the last. And he made a mistake at the last, the first mistake he's ever made of his career, and he got done a short head by Statuaire in the Royal Bond. Right then, they put him away for the winter season because he don't like soft ground. He turns up back after a break in that race at Leopardstown that Sir Gerhard won, the Grade One, and he's a free going front runner. So they decide they're going to jump off in last and hold him up. And he gets beat 53 lengths. Again, I think that was just an exercise in trying to settle him. So again, I think you can put a line through that. He turns up at Cheltenham, runs an absolute stormer, going left-handed, jumping to his right like he did at Navan, behind State Man, First Street, you know, West Cork, surprise package. Felix Deji was 10th in the County Hurdle. A really good time. Felix Deji obviously won at Punchestown. And then he's had two runs on the flat just to keep him ticking over. I mean, this must have been the aim, must it not have been, Sam? He jumps to his right. He likes good ground. He's a free going front runner. Now, if there's one track in Ireland where you want to be off the front, it's surely around the tight right handed turns of Galway. It's just made for my mate Mozzie. Oh, if this all gets beat, Sam, you know, I'm in danger of following him off a cliff because I've literally backed him at every single meeting that he's run at in his whole career, apart from when he ran on the flat. But this is surely the day for my mate Mozzie.
Wow. I take my hat off to you, G-Rod. That is some case you've made there. My mate Mozzie, 12-1 currently. I wish you all the best with that one, but that is some case. And Chris was with Party Central at 10-1 for the Gordon Elliott Stable. Wow, that's it for all the races we are previewing officially, but we have a whole week of top quality racing, including some strong handicaps. Is there anything else you like during the week, Chris?
There is. Am I allowed to mention one that's not going to be at either Goodwood or Galway?
Yeah, of course you can. Go for it. Let us know.
Kenilworth King is the one. This is terrible, really. This is a pure recovery mission because he was. I was with him on the handicap debut just the other day at Wolverhampton, and it was just a complete heartbreaker. You know, got to the front at home turn, looking like it was all in the bag, and he's just got a little bit tired on his first run since March and got done on the line. So you know, back we go to Wolverhampton on Friday. He's going to be a bit shorter than he was that day. But I think, you know, this horse has got a few pounds in hand and, you know, he'll obviously be better for that race. And hopefully it'll all go right this time. In similar vein, actually, Snap Ambush, a Mark Prescott horse that I think is almost certainly got several pounds in hand of its true ability, goes to Southall on Friday. Having got beat on his handicap debut the other day, because I think that the ground was basically just a bit too quick for him. He wasn't so comfortable on it. Southall on Friday night might work out a bit better, and maybe, you know, at the end of the day, at the end of a long, hard week's betting, he might sail a little bit under the radar, you know, because people have done all their punting for the week. So he's in the 8:05 Southall on Friday night. Kenilworth King is at Wolverhampton 1:35 on Friday.
There we go. Yeah, I was just going to ask for the time, but you've given our viewers that. So, yeah, a couple for the ill weather. There we go on Friday. G-Rob, without giving your nap away, what else is there elsewhere this week?
We've got some cracking racing, haven't we? I really fancy in the first race on Tuesday, Soto Sizzler. I think that he really likes downhill tracks. He beat a horse called Aquawar a couple of starts ago in the City and Suburban at Epsom, where he runs particularly well, and he went on to finish second in a race there on Oaks Day, and then last time out he ran at Sandown, a small field race. You know, he's just not suited by small field races on galloping tracks like Sandown. He's much better in big field events like he's going to get on Tuesday. That's in the one fifty, I think, is the opener.
Yeah, 1:50 the opener.
Yeah, and in the 5:20 on Tuesday, I would have thought that Crystal Caprice will go very, very well for Sir Michael Stout, And yeah, I mean, that's just another tip. I think the Dam is from that family, like Crystal Zvezda, Crystal Capella, and, you know, all it might even be Crystal Capella, the Dam. It's a very well-bred horse, just a typical sort of horse that Sir Michael Stout wins these races with. I remember him winning a race at Glorious Goodwood with Poet's Word, and then a handicap race, and then going on, and obviously that went on to win Group 1 races. So he does bring some good horses here on their way up. And the best bet at Goodwood later in the week is in the 3:35 on Friday, the King George Qatar Stakes, Mitz Bahi, who we obviously should have won the race at Sandown last time. I always get mixed up with which one it is. It was the Charge. It wasn't the Scurry. They have two, don't they? The Scurry and the Charge. He was very unlucky not to beat Rassel. Now, I think Batash sort of took a similar route, I think, when he won the George, one of his King Georges. I think he came from that race. And Mitt Bahi, yeah, previously looked like a really, really improving sprinter. He's still only had 10 runs, and he's just a three-year-old. So, yeah, I think that race will really suit Mitt Bahi, the King George Qatar Stakes. 3:35 on Friday.
And there we go. A few extra bets for Goodwood from G-Rod there. Right, it's nap time, gents.
This will not be beaten.
Graham Robway, who is the nap for you this week?
Yeah, I'm going to stick with my mate Mozzie, 5:05 at Galway on Thursday. This is surely his race, Sam.
There we go. My mate Mozzie in the Galway Hurdle on Thursday. And Chris Cook, the nap is?
Westwind Blues, I think. I've just noticed that James Stoyle's been jocked up for him, so that's encouraging. Yeah, about 6-1 for the Gordon Stakes on Thursday.
Okay, West Wind Blows in the Gordon Stakes. Yeah, around 15-2 for that race. And that's it. That's all we've got time for here on the podcast. Chris Loader will be back with Keith Melrose and Robbie Wilders on Thursday this week with a preview of the final 2 days of Goodwood. So looking forward to that. As always, a big thanks to my guests Chris Cook and Graham Robway. I hope everyone listening enjoys what's going to be a fantastic week of racing. And as always, if you are having a bet, remember to gamble responsibly.